back, everybody, to the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Amiibo Jason, and once again, I'm with my main man, the guy who's halfway across the world, but he feels like he's right here in my heart, Hero TJ. TJ, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks, man.
How was your week?
You know what? It was pretty unusual. I was following the same Ring Fit pattern that I've been doing for the past 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Today's the end of my sixth week, but you know how Nintendo added that app for Nintendo Switch where you can monitor exactly how long you've been playing?
Yeah.
A couple days ago, I played in the morning, which was kind of my usual habit, and then I really wanted to play again before I went to bed, and I thought maybe I'll just get a quick 20-minute workout in. I played through half the night.
Again?
And and then I felt like that was kind of a long time. I wonder how long I actually played. So I checked the app, and it was eight hours and 50 minutes.
Straight?
The course. No, in two different
sessions. Okay, thank God for that.
But it was the same day.
So have you beat the game yet?
No, but I do think I'm in the end game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's... They've led me to believe that I'm close to the end.
So I'm assuming Drago has all of his fitness powers back.
Yeah, he's got all his fitness powers back and then some. And I'm pretty powered up at this point. I'm level 205.
Good Lord. I'm 255 right now.
And
No, 155, sorry.
155. Yeah. That's pretty good. You're making pretty steady progress. And this is your last week? You have one more week? Or are you done with your 60-day challenge?
I guess I can. This is a good place to announce this, I guess. I'm going to continue with it for 90 days. Because, nice. Number one, I don't think I'm going to beat the game in 60. And there's a few reasons behind that. I'm still going to do the thing where I do my before and after photos at 60. That's fine.
A progress report.
Yeah. I don't want to stop. Here's the reason why I can tell you I'm not going to beat the game and that I'm not further along. Over the past week, I have stopped playing the main game a lot. I'd say 60% of my time is in the fitness gym section where I can choose my own workouts. And there's a reason why. I want to work out specific parts of my body without being told what to do. And I'm at a point right now where I need a gym. Number one, I feel the healthiest I've felt since I was in my mid-20s.
And I'm 35. Wow. Yes.
And I have more stamina working out than I can tell you. And this is one really interesting thing about Ring Fit. For anybody that's still doubting it after 11 episodes of this show, I was winded very quickly after the first week. And now I can get through an hour and a half and barely break a sweat. And I'm doing all the moves. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm doing a lot of heavy cardio. And I'm like a couple beads of sweat here and there. But it's amazing how much the body adjusts so quickly.
Let's not forget that you are the fastest pectoral muscles in the galaxy.
And I beat my score,
every
by the way.
Single, what?
Yeah. I'm in the 150s now. But that's it.
What?
There's no way to get past that.
I could have a seizure with that ring in my hand and not get that fast. Every single day, just so you know, I don't need to think that I forgot.
Yeah.
Every day. That is how I start off my workout. I'm like, today's the day I'm going to beat Amiibo Jason.
So what are you at right now?
My best ever, which I've only achieved one time, is 137 pumps.
Which is great.
It's great, but I'm not typically there. My average is I can just barely crest over into that 130s.
You know, part of me, I have a weird idea, and you can tell me if this idea is insane. I could pause this right now. I could take the Switch off of the thing and I could try to beat the record live. Not live, but on the podcast. It's right next door. So if you would allow me.
Do it, because I want to see some tips.
Okay, all right.
Now, obviously no one at home is going to be able to see it, but I'll describe it. I'll be like a sportscaster and do the dramatic play-by-play of Amiibo Jason's lightning pectoralis.
So TJ, I'm giving you the podcast for 45 seconds on your own. So
yes,
entertain the people.
Now, I know I mentioned earlier that I spent the better part of the night earlier in the week playing Ring Fit, but I did not mention that I also did it last night. So I've only slept for a couple hours, and it's because I got sucked into Ring Fit after I was planning on doing a nice short workout, and I think I did a 6 hour workout last night, just trying to get my way into that final world where I think I'm at.
I
And
broke the kickstand.
oh. All right, Amiibo Jason's back, and I'm gonna witness firsthand his pectoralis major in action. Now, just in case you're not familiar with what this exercise is, you're essentially holding the ring right out in front of you, and you're just pushing it in. It doesn't have to be very far, but it has to be as fast as you can. So you're, if you imagine pressing your hands together in front of you and just rapidly pushing your hands into each other, it's the same basic idea, except you have the ring separating them. And I can do that within the time span 130 times, but I've been chasing Jason's score forever, and I can't understand how he is achieving what he's achieving. So for me, this is going to be like a personal training session.
You're gonna
I'm going to
find
see.
out like I'm cheating the system or something. Or
Well,
I'm gonna
I.
find out I'm doing it wrong and I'm gonna be shamed. All
But you
right.
know what else? I do know that I could be faster because I do slow down towards the end. I can't maintain terminal velocity all the way through.
So I'm in. I'm gonna set this down. Can I do this? Yeah, I can do this with my headphones in, I think. All right, actually, I'm gonna put the headphones off. Here we go.
All right. All right, I'm watching him in action. Oh, he's fast. You might even be able to hear the rings go. This is totally legit, folks. He is not cheating anything. He is just crazy, insanely fast with this pectoralis major. Plus, as he's doing this, I'm seeing his bicep muscles bulge also. Amiibo Jason's like halfway hulking out.
Not my best, but 138.
Oh my gosh. Just casually doing it right now, he beat my best score ever by one. And it was legit lightning fast.
All right,
Dude,
so
I'm impressed. And this is that for you, this is the end of the day. It's almost midnight where you are. So you're at the end of a long full work day and you're still casually beating my best.
138 is typical for me now, around there. I had to push it to get above that. Oh man, I'm winded.
That was amazing.
Oh man, I need a second. Gee whiz.
If Amiibo Jason passes out on the podcast, then you know that he over exceeded the prowess of his mighty
I'm
pecs.
just happy that you could see it. And I know the folks at home are just listening to this, but I assure you, it's fun. But like I said before,
That was mighty. Oh,
it was
man.
very mighty. I've moved on to 90 days, and number one, I want to beat the story. I want to ask you a question about the game itself.
Yeah.
Have you encountered the shadowy purple yoga mats?
Yes.
I hate them.
Because they keep restoring their power.
And so the other yoga mats restore their power rarely. They usually
Yeah.
restore somebody else's power.
Yeah.
These stupid things, they do it 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And
And all their power. So
yeah.
a couple nights ago, I was fighting one of those and I depleted it down to, I used my most difficult physically taxing move on it because
Yep.
it did the most damage. And I was one hit away. I scored perfect. For those of you guys who don't know, the better you perform the move, the more damage it does. And so I did it like flawlessly across the board, and I was one hit away from being able to destroy it, and its next move, it heals itself perfectly.
Yep.
So then I'm like, okay. And I used my next best move, which wasn't much less in terms of how taxing it was, and it also did comparable damage. And the same exact thing happened, and it healed itself all the way again. So at this point, I'm like, this is like equal to fighting three bad
Yeah.
guys. And fortunately, on my third attempt, I was only able to do maybe 75% of the damage, but it did not heal itself on the third time, so I was able to take it out on the fourth time. But I had to
Yeah.
fight him four times, which
Yeah, I had that
was
happen
crazy.
today too. I have a huge stock of the, what is it, Guaranteed Rush and Go Again smoothies.
Yeah.
So there's a mechanic in the game where you can make smoothies. The smoothies do certain things. One of the smoothies makes it so you can go twice in a row, which I absolutely abuse in boss fights.
I abuse in gold hoplin and silver hoplin.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
Fights.
You have to do it there.
Yeah.
But number one, I feel like I'm not abusing it because you're still doing the same workouts.
Like, all it does is prevent you from getting attacked.
Yeah.
You still do as many. In fact, it kind of increases the or limits the amount of rest time that you have in between. So if anything, it makes you work harder, but the benefit is you don't have to get attacked.
Yeah.
So that's great.
So here we are. I'm day 56 or 57, one of the two. And I'm still loving it. I really am. I'm sure we're going to talk about it next week too. Next week, I'm sure you're going to have the game beat.
Yeah, I'm probably going to wrap up with you today and then go right into the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard because you were grabbing your Ring Fit, but I've only slept a couple hours because I stayed up all night playing the game again.
Good Lord, man.
And
that's,
I got to finish it.
Though.
Like it's almost like borderline addiction.
Yeah.
And I've had a lighter work week, so I was able to put a little bit more time into the game than I ordinarily would be able to. But my wife's been doing her work in the same room that I've been working out, so it's been a chance for me to be able to be in her presence without being too distracting to her.
Yeah.
And also, as I'm doing the hip shake, I'm not being too distracting. But,
so the same thing. So Lauren, happily candied, typically sits on the couch behind me on her phone or playing with her Tamagotchi. And anytime I have the hip shake move, I just hear her go, ooh, cause I'm just going to be transparent. I play this game in my underwear.
That is amazing.
It's comfortable and it's, I don't wear workout clothes. I'm glad you find this so funny.
I'm just picturing the hip shaker.
It's not like it's like I'm not wearing like old man tidy whiteies or anything like that.
Oh, that's what I was immediately picturing, of course.
I have very fancy boxer briefs. Thank you.
Nice.
But yeah, Ring Fit's awesome. Can't wait to keep going.
I'm pretty lazy about taking screen captures intentionally, although I will say that I have taken so many accidental screen captures in this game because of where the button is on the Rincon. My finger will brush it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And it's like, hey, you took a screen capture. And I've never gone in and looked at any of those because when I post to social media about my progress and my results, I just take a picture of the screen with my phone because
it's
faster.
It's easier.
And so usually at the end, I don't count how many exercises I do, but Tip, your little personal trainer buddy in the game, will praise you when you do reach a certain number.
Yeah.
And last night, I think I hit something like 5,000 hip shakes, and
Did he do the firework thing?
Yeah. He takes the Rincon down, shoots some fireworks down, throws them up into the sky. And I didn't take a screen capture of that because I don't really know that I'm so proud of the fact that I've done the hip shake 5,000 times.
You got to embrace it.
I am so good at that hip shake. I'm like the hip shaking machine.
And another fun thing too, you'll love this. Mountain climbers are a big part of my workout now, and it does not register.
How are you doing this?
I can't. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I can hear it, and it just sounds terrible every time I try to do one. So I have no idea what it's looking for, but it's not what I'm doing.
Well, I'll tell you how I do it now. I get 100 most of the time, but I register the position and then I immediately stand up and I do wide knee raises. I basically do a vertical imitation of what it is, and most of the time it works. Occasionally it'll hit me with like a 20 or a 25.
Sure.
It's out of 100. If you do 100, it's a perfect score. But anytime I see that exercise in one of the gyms where you're graded on your proficiency, I'm always like, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to be a stone cold ultimate workout master with every other exercise because I have to make up for how bad that's going to drag my average down.
I mean, for the most part, I mean, the other ones are super easy to get like 100% on.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, even with messing all of those up, I still get an A. I mean, I don't get an S anymore, but I'm happy with an A.
What I'm hoping is that we're right on the brink of 2020 now, and almost every year since the dawn of mankind, at the turn of the year, people's New Year's resolution is to get fit.
Yeah.
And I think this game came out just enough ahead of time to kind of gain a little bit of traction and get some good reviews so that people who've been holding out can incorporate it as part of their New Year's commitment to getting fit.
Yeah.
And I hope that that really is a boom for the game, because I want to see more games like this. I want more content of this, and I want more people, frankly, to gamify their health, find a way to be able to feel inspired to play the game in a way that's going to increase your stamina, increase your strength, and increase your flexibility, and just generally increase the overall quality of your life.
I've noticed that Nintendo is dragging this out. So they have a decent amount of influencers who they have this little system in place. If they beat a world, they get a prize. Like, Nintendo sends them something. But it's a really slow process. I mean, they've had the game now for almost 60 days, and most of them are on like World 4 or World 5. So I think Nintendo is trying to drag this out as much as they can, which is a good idea. And here I am, not getting anything, no prizes. And I'm like the biggest cheerleader on Twitter for this game. Like, Nintendo, what are you doing? Hook me up with a sponsorship.
Well, I wouldn't say no prizes. You have the real prize, which is the fastest lightning pectorals
in all
the galaxy.
That is true.
And that's something money can't buy.
So here's, I think it's a new record, 15 minutes of Ring Fit discussion on the podcast right off the bat.
Yeah.
So moving,
we can't be stopped.
Moving off of Ring Fit, I just want to bring this up. We are a Nintendo podcast, so this counts. I am 4 games away from my complete Nintendo 64 collection. It has been about a year and a half now. Yeah, thank you. I'm very, very excited about this. The games
and
I
you
need,
just recently picked up some pretty rare ones,
yeah,
didn't you?
I did.
What ones were those?
I got Stunt Racer 64, which is a Blockbuster exclusive.
Did you find that, or did you have to
pony up? I got a good deal on it, but I bought it. The reason I got a good deal is because the back is just a giant Blockbuster sticker.
That's actually better.
I like that too. So I put something on Twitter. I'm like, should I take the sticker off, or should
Don't,
I try to take
no.
it off? Yeah, I'm going to keep it on. It's reminiscent of my childhood. I mean, I went to Blockbuster every weekend looking for games.
And you said it's a Blockbuster exclusive, right?
Yes.
That's a stamp of authenticity right
there. It is, for sure.
It's more valuable with that on there, I think.
And, yeah, I mean, it's an expensive game, but I didn't pay anywhere near what it's worth, which is good. I do need one game that I'm going to have to shell out $350 on, no matter what. It's a very, very... It's the second rarest game on the system. It's a bowling game. It's very, very basic. I think that was a Blockbuster exclusive as well. And after that, I mean, there's some pretty common stuff I need, so there's 3 other games I need, and I'm done. It's a weird thing, and now I don't know what to do after this. I started collecting games.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I think you make an awesome video about
completing
this collection.
I'm definitely doing that, for sure. So I got every color variant that was released in the U.S., so I have that done. I'm almost done with the games. I want to get the Japanese exclusive consoles. I think after that, I'm going to go either GameCube or Virtual Boy. I'm already halfway to my Virtual Boy collection being done.
I know Virtual Boy stuff is out there, but...
Yeah.
It was also never really released in great numbers. Is it affordable to collect?
I found a brand new sealed copy of a game for $5 a couple weeks ago at a toy show. Some games are super easy to find. There's one game that's like $700 on its own.
Wow.
But there's only like 16 or 17 games on the entire system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was... absolutely Nintendo's biggest failure, even though I love the system. There's something about it that just makes me happy.
Yeah, same here. Like, it was the first time as a kid where I grew up feeling like Nintendo could do no wrong, because I had never played a bad first-party game up until that point that the Virtual Boy released, and I bought every Nintendo console that had released and loved it and was definitely deeply entrenched in Nintendo stuffs. And then that came out and I tried it at Funkoland, which is kind of like an early iteration of GameStop.
The best.
And immediately I was like, okay, this one I'm going to skip. I had a headache within a couple minutes. Yeah. It's just a red and black display. But since then, I have really come to appreciate how much Nintendo has embraced Virtual Boy. Instead of trying to shy away from it and make people forget that they ever did it, they commonly reference it. I remember Virtual getting Boo? One in... Yeah, Virtual Boo. It was so awesome in Luigi's Mansion. And the first time I think I remember coming across it was in Animal Crossing on GameCube, where I found one in the game, a virtual recreation of it. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, they are leaning into that history. I love that.
It was in Tomodachi Life.
Yeah.
And they were kind of mocking it there. It was like Reggie and Miyamoto and somebody else like circling it. And I think they were saying, all hail the Virtual Boy, something like that.
And when Reggie was training for E3, this was several years ago, I don't remember exactly what E3 it was, but Nintendo made a promotional video, and Reggie was like using the power pad and all these other things to train. And at one point, he was training with the Virtual Boy. I love how they kind of took us through a tour of Nintendo's history in this training montage that just hit all the notes. And even though the Virtual Boy as a system is pretty unusable, I would not recommend it for anybody. I think that it is an interesting little section of Nintendo's history, and having that as a collector is certainly, I could see the value in that.
I do play it, by the way.
What?
I do. So my Virtual Boy had a bad lens, which is, so over time, here's how cheap this system was, by the way, when they were putting it together. Instead of soldering the connections onto the unit for each of the eyepieces. And if you don't know how the Virtual Boy works, super brief history lesson. It's two lenses that has a screen that essentially vibrates very, very quickly. And when it vibrates quickly, it projects an image from an LED. There's, I think, one LED on this thing that vibrates quickly to make the picture. And it projects it onto each eye. So there's two of these units in the device. And what they did was they, instead of soldering the connection onto the motherboard, they glued it on. And over the years, the glue just stops holding like it used to, and the screens stop projecting. And the only way to fix it is A, you can send it into a place that will solder every connection, or B, you can do what I do, is you disassemble it, you take the little eye pieces out and you put them in the oven at 240 degrees for about 30 seconds.
That's bold.
And then you have to clamp the glue because it will soften the glue and you can't keep it in longer than that. You clamp it down and that's it. You keep it clamped for about 2 or 3 minutes. The glue resets and you usually have a working system again. The last time I did it, it worked for about a week and it stopped working and I had to do it again.
But, man, I've baked my fair share of Amiibo, but I don't know that I would have the guts to do that with a console.
If you want to see the process, if you go to my Twitter account, when I did this, I did a step-by-step tutorial of cooking my Virtual Boy.
Did you make a video of this?
No, but I have screenshots of the entire process.
You should take those screenshots and make a video.
There's so many out there. That's how I figured out how to do it.
Oh, okay.
But I love this thing. The Virtual Boy, it's so great. I love playing it. I don't get headaches. I was playing Wario World on there, or Super Wario Land 4 or 3 or something.
Probably the highest rated game on there, you think?
It's fun. It's a fun game. And I'm shocked to this day that Nintendo never released Virtual Boy games on the 3DS. Never
that's pretty interesting, huh? Because they could have easily just taken any of those games and made them good.
Yeah.
Or made them slightly more playable.
You can there's a Virtual Boy emulator for the Oculus Rift, which I've tried out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it works totally in 3D. So it's cool stuff. But yeah, the collection's nearly done. Speaking of collections, these new Amiibo came out. I have the Golden Shovel Knight Amiibo and the 3-pack that I ordered 2 years ago on Amazon that finally showed up. Overall, I like these amiibo. I'm just going to point this out. These are probably the cheapest looking amiibo to date.
You're talking about the 3-pack.
The 3-pack.
The gold one looks pretty good.
The gold one is definitely up there for me. But the other three, I think Spectre Knight by far looks the best. But there's definitely botched paint on all of these, specifically King Knight. So you'll see, like, there's red paint bleeding onto the black areas and onto the yellow areas. So it looks kind of botched. Kind of what you were saying with Simon Belmont, where it was, like, one solid color.
Yeah.
You could tell that's what they did for this. Like,
right.
There's no... I mean, King Knight has this golden, shiny helmet, and this is just a matte yellow.
Right. But even when they first showed the promo pictures, I could tell that King Knight didn't seem to have enough of a color range to not look cheap. He's obviously cast out of the yellow plastic, and there's just not enough other details. So it's that just... I know Skylanders were criticized for this a lot, where they kind of look like cheap Happy Meal toys.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where King Knight falls.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Back when I was calling out Jason Greer for his Happy Meal toys. Oh, I loved it.
It was a good time.
But I don't want you to think that these are bad amiibo in any way. I like them still quite a bit. Just keep that in mind that compared to a Smash amiibo, they don't really hold a candle to it in terms of quality. With the exception of Spectre Knight, I really like this one. And again, he's really basic. There's not a lot to him. There's several pieces of overlapping armor. It's all the same color, but there's just something about the armor on this that I like. I think it looks pretty cool. But
the sculpts of all four Shovel Knight amiibo are really good. The sculpts of Gold Shovel Knight and Standard Shovel Knight are exactly the same, right? It's just a different...
Same thing.
As is the case with most gold ones. But I think that they did an excellent job determining how to position them in a way that really encapsulates the character, but also suits a statue, which was some of the issues that Smash Brothers had, where they created all these dynamic poses, but some of them were difficult to translate into a position that could be applied to a base without having some kind of obtrusive support.
Yeah.
And I think the Shovel Knight... or Yacht Club learned from that, where they're like, these basic poses tend to look a little bit better for these.
Do you know how tempted I am, though? Paintings where they cut the corners. I'm so tempted to scratch the paint on this to see if there's a standard Shovel Knight amiibo under this. Like, did they have a bunch of extra and just paint it gold?
I don't know if they had extra or if they just made more, but I'm sure that you're going to get the same thing. I don't know that it's blue. They might have casted it out of a different color. Yeah. Base mold, but if you do get another one, that would be interesting.
You can tell it's paint, though. I mean, there's brush stroke. I don't know if they're brush strokes, but there's errors for the paint. I mean, there's kind of like little blotches in certain areas. So if you look at like the gold Mega Man and the gold Mario, you don't see that. However, I don't want it to sound like I'm crapping on these amiibo. I still like these quite a bit, but just so you know, I'm amiibo Jason. I have to nitpick this stuff.
Of course.
I mean, who else is going to do it?
Right. You're the man. So. The reigning king of amiibo had to get King Knight and Company.
Well, thank you.
I did also buy the 3-pack, although I've not seen them because they were shipped to an Illinois address.
Yeah.
And I did not pre-order Gold Shovel Knight, but if I do come across them out here in Taiwan, I will pick them up. Although I don't know how prevalent they'll be out here, because this is a game that... it's really popular stateside, but I don't know how much of a presence it has in Asia.
So I feel like it should be decent. I really do.
I'm curious to see. So next time I head out to the underground amiibo headquarters, I'll see.
Do you want me to pick you one up, though, for some reason, if you need it? I can always pick one up for you.
Are they easy to find?
I mean, I just checked. They're at Best Buy still.
I'll get back to you on that. I'll check and see if they're out here.
So I have two no matter what. So even if they sell out, I'll give you one if you need one.
You are a hero.
I am a generous amiibo god. You are
a great and benevolent king.
If I remember correctly, I gave you a gold Mario.
You
the
gave
only
me
gold Mario that I had boxed, by the way.
Yes, which was very magnanimous of you.
That skyrocketed to $70 a piece.
Ooh, and right before I left for Taiwan, I could not get a hold of a Smash Isabel, and
you, oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got me that one.
It's what I do.
You're
it's
a
for,
hero.
It's for the little people.
You're a hero of legend.
I don't know about that. TJ, do you want to tell us about the Game Awards? I think we got to move on to the Game Awards.
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit last time before the Game Awards started, and I had suggested how I couldn't imagine a way how Nintendo could make a Smash Brothers announcement that would equal that of Joker's. So I thought they would either low-key drop their next character or completely omit a character announcement at all.
Yeah.
And you brought up a great point, which was since all the other characters for Smash Brothers that have released as DLC have been third-party characters, that this was really a great opportunity for them to appeal to gamers who are not necessarily Nintendo owners or Smash players. And while I totally agree with you, I still couldn't quite imagine how they would do this because of the strong emphasis Nintendo has put on being surprising. And it had become such a widespread rumor that Nintendo was going to release another character, and because there was the precedent of them doing it last year, I think people just took it as fact that they were going to make some kind of crazy announcement. And not only was there not a Smash announcement throughout the show, there was no first-party announcement from Nintendo. So there were no surprises like the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC. And by and large, if you were a Nintendo fan, there were very few moments to get excited about during the Game Awards. I don't want to take anything away from the Game Awards because I don't think it's fair to judge them based on something that Nintendo chose not to do. It wasn't like they promised, hey, Nintendo's going to give you all these great surprises. But because the last 2 years were really important Nintendo events, I think every Nintendo fan who watched the show didn't take their eyes off the screen because they were waiting for any moment for somebody to hijack the show like Joker did,
yeah,
or for some big Nintendo personality to take the stage. They didn't want to miss that. So I did watch every minute of the show. I think that they did a good job. Like, they kept it moving along. Smash Brothers won for best fighting game,
yep,
which is very well deserved, although a little bit unusual because it's technically is a game from last year, but because it released after the Game Awards, it wasn't able to be included in last year's awards show. And Nintendo has supported the game throughout the entire year. So for I know some people have complained that they don't think it qualifies. I think that it completely qualifies, and I think it's a worthy winner. Nintendo also won in the Best Nintendo Game category, also known as Best Family Game. So there was no there was no way they were going to lose that. And I don't remember what game you said, but I thought that Luigi's Mansion was the best choice out of the Best Family Game, and that was the one that won.
I don't consider Ring Fit to be a family game.
I know I play it that way, but I'm probably the only person who does. I even went so far as to buy my kids Pilates rings so that they can have something to hold while they work out with me.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that that's the norm. So for me, it's a family experience, but for most people, it's probably just a personal workout session. And it was a weird inclusion. I think that's one of those games that you have nowhere to put. So you stick it in there to fill out the nominees. And then the other category that Nintendo was nominated in was, again, Super Smash Brothers, and it was the Game of the Year. The game that actually wound up winning was Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Which I do want to play at some point.
Yeah, I haven't played it myself. I do remember it being in the news earlier in the year, closer to when it was released, for being notoriously difficult.
Yeah,
and
it's a Dark Souls-esque game.
It also raised up a pretty interesting issue in gaming where some contingent of the gaming community were saying that if you're having a hard time with the game because it's too hard, you just need to get good.
Yeah.
And then there was this other group of people saying the game is not accessible for people with disabilities. And that really opened my eyes to an issue with gaming that I don't think much about, where let's say you have one hand.
Yeah.
This is a difficult game to play. So sometimes putting a game on an easier setting is not because you can't get good. It's because you're dealing with certain physical impairments. And so being able to have games have an easy mode is a way of making games more accessible for players who don't get to play in the traditional or conventional sense. And that was a very interesting concept, something that during the development process just wouldn't occur to me. But now we're moving into a place with gaming where we are trying to make as many people play it as possible. Yeah. And this is a little bit off topic, but that's my experience with this game. It's just purely how it launched that conversation. So I don't really have anything to say about it one way or the other. I don't even think I've seen any. The extent of the screenshots and footage I've seen of it was what I witnessed during the Game Awards. People also criticized the Game Awards pretty heavily for just being commercial after commercial. But to me, the commercials were just as good as the world premieres.
Except for the five Magic the Gathering same ad over and over.
Yeah, that's true. I think Magic was a big sponsor of the show because they did get a lot of presence.
Yeah.
Both during the show and also for commercials. But I felt like the games that won were pretty diverse. It wasn't just the Death Stranding show, which some predicted it may be.
Yeah,
Death
that Stranding lost did quite collect a bit. Some.
But it was a good year in gaming, but it was not like last year.
Yeah.
Where I felt like it was an unbelievable year in gaming. And it wasn't like the year before, which was also had a lot of really big standouts. But it was a solid year where there was a steady stream of really solid games. So you don't have any runaway winners. And I do think that a lot of people were surprised by the game of the year. But for me, and this is just my personal take on it, the highlight of the show was former Nintendo president Reggie Fils-Aimé taking the stage and announcing Best Indie Game. And the way that he couched it was very fascinating. He said that it was his favorite of all the categories, and that kind of struck me as a bit odd. And Nintendo has a history recently of really supporting indie developers and even coining the term nindies.
Yeah.
But he said most of the awards there are a celebration of things that have already happened. You're looking to the past. You're celebrating accomplishments that games had. But the best indie category is looking to the future because you're seeing people who are developing their first game or an early game in their career as independent developers, and even liken that to the early career of Miyamoto and the late president Satoru Iwata, where you get to see people at the beginning of their creative journey, and it kind of sparks your imagination of where these people are going to go. And he not only brought the whole thing home by likening it to other Nintendo personalities that we already have a fond relationship with, but he did it in his usual Reggie style.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of charisma. He's a beloved person. And it touched me. And that was definitely the point of the show where I felt like his perfect attendance record at the Game Awards was warranted.
Yeah.
And then that was followed up somewhat awkwardly by Michelle Rodriguez, the actress, promoting a game for Fast and the Furious, and then kind of unenthusiastically sharing the stage with Vin Diesel. And both of them, I have nothing disparaging to say about them, except that they followed Reggie's act, which was poignant and meaningful and inspirational, and they were chummy and casual, and Vin Diesel's much taller than Michelle Rodriguez, so he kept awkwardly trying to figure out how to stand with the mic, which was like 2 feet below his mouth level, so he kept ducking down, and I guess producers were yelling from the wings for him to stop doing it, so he addressed the fact that they kept telling him to stop leaning down. And the Fast and Furious game was very unremarkable.
Just me, or did it look like a PS2 game? Specifically, the Vin Diesel model in the game?
Yeah. Oh,
it looked like garbage. Like, I could not believe how bad it looked.
It was like they tried to take the general shapes of these performers and then somehow gave them just a general shading value that's not applicable in all lighting situations. And It was a little bit creepy. Like we've seen such impressive feats of graphical prowess And then we've seen these incredible stylistic games, many of which were represented in this show.
Yeah.
And then this is, it falls into the category of vaguely realistic for me, which is, and this is my aesthetic, I find the least appealing. You have a game like Breath of the Wild, which takes realistic, like humanoid characters and gives it this artistic cel-shading art style,
yeah,
which has a lot of appeal to me. And then you have games that are so graphically impressive that they could almost be confused for real.
Yeah.
But then when you have games that their graphic agenda is to look like real life, but fall well short of that mark, the Uncanny Valley just becomes scary,
yeah,
to me. So you said like early PS2. To me, it looked like GameCube, late GameCube.
So I was going to actually point this out. I got some weird vibes from that game. So again, a lot of you might be younger listening to this. So if you are, just gather around Grandpa Amiibo Jason. He's going to tell you about the mid-2000s.
Yes.
So the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube era, this is typically where it started. If there was a movie, there was typically a quickly rushed video game to go out with that movie. For The Matrix, for Star Wars, I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, I kid you not. So we've evolved from a point where instead of putting those games on a console, they're throwing it onto a smartphone. They're doing microtransaction little games based on movies, and that's how they're selling it. But back in the day, everything got a rushed, crappy movie game treatment. And that's the weird vibe I got from this, down to the character models, the crappy dialogue, and the uninspired gameplay. All of it just reminded me of mid-2000s. It was crazy.
So with that sense that you got, I think a lot of other gamers shared that. And then Vin Diesel just casually mentioned to his friend, Michelle Rodriguez, that he got to see a 4-minute trailer of their most recent Fast and Furious movie. Yeah. And that was not followed up by, and now you get to take an advanced look at it. So it was almost an unremarkable remark that teased something that was not even a part of the show. So again, nothing disparaging about either of those two actors. That segment that they did should have happened somewhere in the mid-show.
That closed the show.
That closed the show, and it fell really flat as a finale. And maybe for me, it's because it came right after Reggie. But I think the culmination of a show where people had really big expectations, and I don't think unrightly so, given some of the amazing world premieres and announcements that the Game Awards has historically had, it was just a flat close. And so people were left really just uninspired by the whole event. And I think that may have soured their overall experience with it, because it wasn't sending us home on a high note.
Yeah. I'm not a massive Xbox gamer, but I mean, we got our first look at the new generation, which is kind of exciting to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I think 2020 is going to be a massive year for video games.
I think so.
I think we're going to get, I still believe we're getting a PS4 Pro, or not a PS4 Pro, a Switch Pro, or a beefy Switch.
I think we're not, because I don't think they want to compete in a landscape with those two other consoles. Going back with the Switch Lite, the Switch, and the Wii U, Nintendo has distinctly avoided being on the same console cycle as the other ones, because they just don't want to directly compete. They like to have their own news cycle, and it's worked for them pretty well.
I don't necessarily think they're going to try to compete. I think Nintendo has been lucky that so many games have been easily ported from PS4 and Xbox One. I guess I don't want to say easily, but portable from the PS4 to the Xbox One to the Switch. The fact that it supports Unreal Engine 4, the fact that Wolfenstein somehow made it from PS4 to Switch, which with a lot of cuts, and by cuts, I mean graphical cuts, the entire game is there. It's a kind of extraordinary to me. I think once we hit the next console generation, we might see Nintendo try to beef it up to a certain degree. I don't think we're going to get a Switch that is going to be 4K. Not even close. I think we're going to get a Switch that's going to do 1080p handheld with no issues, and that will have enhanced graphical capabilities, but still backwards compatible with everything else. Kind of like an upgrade like the 3DS to the new 3DS. Yeah. Not a lot of stuff supported it, but the stuff that supported it was a marginal improvement.
I am fascinated to see where Nintendo goes with this, because they are going to be left in the dust in terms of overall processing power, which is going to put them at a disadvantage with third-party companies.
Yeah.
Because third-party companies that release games cross-platform are not going to be able to reduce their game in such a way that's going to allow it to be played on the Switch. We are going to get to that point. So either Nintendo's going to step up to the plate and develop a more capable machine, or they are going to accept that they're going to miss out on a lot of big titles that they could otherwise have if the Switch was able to power it. And I'm curious to see how they do that.
Can you go back at this point? I mean, can you go back from a hybrid console to a dedicated home console if you're Nintendo at this point? Because I feel like the Switch was so wildly successful that this is the new norm for Nintendo, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I love having a hybrid.
I'm with you there, and I think it's tough to say because Nintendo has dropped off prominent console features before. Up until the GameCube, everything was pretty conventional, like going from the NES to the Super NES,
yep,
to the Nintendo 64, and then to the GameCube. All of them did add distinct features, but none of those features were ever taken away. They were all included all the way up until the Wii, except for the conventional style controller, which they did have ways that you could play it conventionally. But by and large, yeah, you played it mostly with motion control. And even though the motion control from the Wii was carried into the Wii U, even to the extent where you could use Wii controllers on it, the Wii separate gamepad interface, where you could have two screens, was not carried over to the Switch. So the Switch is not including features of its most recent predecessor. So the next iteration of Nintendo consoles, will it subtract features that the Switch has? That's hard to say. I think that's really an interesting idea. It might be the way that they have to be able to get some of these other games, but you know Nintendo always marches to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah, that is true.
Can they go back is really the question. And I think a lot of gamers would struggle to lose that portability, because I think a lot of players play it portable more than they thought they would. And for all players, it allows you to take the game with you when you are away from your dedicated console screen.
Yeah.
So even myself, I prefer playing my games in front of my television. Dramatically prefer it. Like 100% of the time when I can, that's what I would do. However, I still probably do, not counting Ring Fit, I still probably do 75% of my gaming portably, because I'm a dad chasing around young kids, yeah, and playing the game on the go is where I have the most opportunity.
I love my Switch Lite too much, where I only use portable mode unless I'm, again, playing Ring Fit, or if my daughter and I want to play Pokemon or Luigi's Mansion. But my prediction for it, and it's probably going to be dead wrong, is at E3, they're going to announce Breath of the Wild 2 for a holiday 2020 release.
That would be much needed.
Alongside a Switch Pro, and I think Breath of the Wild 2 is going to have enhanced features on it. Am I right? Probably not. Especially, I don't know if Nintendo would want to release a Switch Pro when the PS4 and, or the PS5 and the Xbox Edition version X, what's it called?
Oh, that just went right over me. In the history of Xbox confusing names, I just saw a new Xbox, and for me, it's going to be the new Xbox.
Xbox Edition X?
No idea.
Version X? I can't even remember what it's called. I tweeted about it today, and that's how bad it is. Just call it the Xbox 4. Are we at the 4? Is that the 4?
No, I think it's 5.
Is it the 5?
Wouldn't it?
Xbox, wouldn't it be? Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox X, version X, version .com.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because the most recent, or the current generation of Xboxes, are even subcategorized, where they have three different versions on the market, and are they just upgrades? Are they a mid-generation upgrade? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're mid. I mean, they're just, it's the same system, just 4K, beefier. Yeah,
we've gotten blurrier.
Xbox Series X.
That's terrible. Too many X's. Too many X's.
And then people are bringing it down to Xbox Series. They're putting Series as SE. So Xbox Sex.
Oh.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's perfect with their X-Bone.
So good, right?
Yeah. And Nintendo is the worst when it comes to iterative titles. I just want to get that out there.
The Wii Switch is doing decent, at least. I mean, I like the Switch.
The Switch is a great name. That's the perfect name.
Switch Lite.
Switch Lite is a super missed opportunity. That should have been called the Lite Switch.
Yeah. I've already had problems where I'm on Amazon looking for things to, like, accessories for the Switch Lite, and I get light switches, so.
As long as the next Switch is not called the new Switch, because that kills
me. I think they abandoned that at this point. I'd like to think that they abandoned that, because it was a terrible idea.
It was such a bad idea, but I have stopped giving Nintendo credit when it comes to naming conventions, even though the Switch is better. There are so many times when there's such an obvious issue with a name. I still struggle with the new 3DS because when you say, hey, I have a new 3DS, are you saying you just got a new 3DS, like not used? Or are you saying you have the new title edition 3DS? Too confusing. And there's too many ways for it to be confusing. So I have a used 3DS. I have a used new 3DS.
Ah, there you go.
Instantly an oxymoron.
Yep.
You would have to say, I have a new Nintendo 3DS, which sounds redundant.
Yep.
So, silly. I don't need to convince anybody that's a silly name, but hopefully they've moved away from that.
I do really quick, because while I know we are still on Game Awards right now. I do want to talk about the other Nintendo games that got announced briefly on No More Heroes 3. I played No More Heroes 1. I have nothing to say about it. As far as the game goes, I'm sure it's great. I know the fans are kind of rabid for it. But I'm more excited about Bravely Default 2.
Now help me here. Because I feel like Bravely Default already had a sequel. I thought there were... So is this like a Switch version of
game? Bravely Default and then Bravely Second. So Bravely Second was the sequel to Bravely Default, but it was within the same story arc, same characters, same thing. So it's kind of like Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2, right?
Oh.
So Bravely Second was the sequel to Bravely Default, but it wasn't the direct sequel to the Bravely series. So now we have Bravely Default 2, which these are all new characters. I know it's bizarre.
All right. At the risk of earning the ire of Bravely Default fans out there, I have not played any Bravely Default game.
Sure.
That is straight up dumb. That is we just got done talking about confusing naming conventions.
Yeah.
So as somebody who is aware of Bravely Default and aware of Bravely Default Second, but has not played them, I saw a world premiere that I thought was a port, because I distinctly recall already there being a Bravely Default sequel, and Bravely Default Second, Bravely Default 2, those sound like the same name to me. So here I would think that this would be a Bravely Default 3rd. I understand what you're saying about that would insinuate that it's somehow connected story-wise to the previous one, but there's got to be a better way to do that. So Bravely
Default. It's kind of like Xenoblade Chronicles X then came out, and now we're on Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know what I mean?
Also not great, but better, because at least when you have Xenoblade 2, there hasn't already been one that has a
like
2.
Second.
Yeah, second is another way to say 2. And so that's pretty confusing.
Yeah. I mean, it
kind of makes me angry a little bit. Like,
I mean, I get it. I get it. But at the same time, too, I'm in the same boat. The naming convention's odd. But naming convention aside, Bravely Default was a hidden gem. I don't even want to say hidden gem because I think it did well. It was an absolutely fantastic RPG on the 3DS. Bravely Second was the same. I like that they maintained the art style and the overall look of the cities and towns for the Switch version. They didn't try to take the beefier specs on the Switch and completely change up the art style of the game, because the art style was something that was very distinct in the Bravely series. So I'm happy to see that they've done that with Bravely Default 2. But yeah, that's coming out in 2020. Nintendo, again, is doing a huge, like, they have a huge interest in this. They're publishing the game. Square Enix is making the game. So it's nice to see Nintendo's quality control is going to be part of this. But I'm excited for it. I really am. I think that's going to be great. Besides that and No More Heroes, was there any other Nintendo?
One more, and it was just announcing the update
for Marvel?
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Which nobody cares about.
Yeah, the game looks fun. I probably would have played it a lot more if I was still in college. Yeah, but
it's all right. I played it at E3. It was all right.
So if you were a Nintendo fan, the Game Awards probably fell a little flat for you. And I don't think it's fair to judge the show for things that you expected to happen that they never promised they were going to deliver.
Yeah.
But I also think it's fair, given the history, that you went in with higher expectations than they were actually able to provide. So. Yeah.
I think the first year we got our very first off-screen look at Breath of the Wild running in Engine. I think that was the Game Awards.
That or did occur at one of the Game Awards.
It was either
sure.
the Game Awards or Spike TV's Game Awards.
No, it was on Game Awards for sure.
Okay. And then obviously we had Joker. We had Bayonetta 3 2 years back,
which you predicted would make an appearance here, and it did not. So a lot of things that were somewhat obvious that
I'm like, nervous.
Part of the other thing I think to the point that you made with Bayonetta is there are a lot of outstanding questions that Nintendo could have leveraged the Game Awards to announce, and they just chose not to. That's okay, because it means that it's not like a Smash character announcement not occurring at the Game Awards means that there isn't going to be a Smash Fighter 5 character announcement. I'm actually glad that it's not going to happen at the Game Awards, because now Nintendo can do it strictly on their own terms.
Yeah.
And I would rather have a dedicated Nintendo Direct or some sort of other surprising way in which Nintendo does this than for them to repeat what they've already done in the past with Joker, which was a one-of-a-kind,
it was
I
great.
Hope, never-to-be-repeated event. It was so
I
amazing.
I still watch it. I still, like, watch that clip from the Game Awards. It's cool the way
I recently watched it, too. I'm totally with you. It was just so shocking.
Even though I never play as Joker.
Neither do I. He's my least favorite character in the whole game. Come at me, Persona fans.
I want that amiibo, though.
Yeah, me too.
Give me that amiibo.
I'm right there with you.
But overall, I mean, I enjoyed the show for what it was.
Same.
I like that video games are getting this kind of big, epic event. And Jeff...
To the credit of Jeff and all of his cohorts, they put together a pretty polished show.
Yeah, they did.
By and large.
With the exception of Vin Diesel at the end.
Right. Which, again, it was just a structuring issue. It should have ended on a high note. And I don't know if that just meant saving one of their bigger deal announcements towards the end, or maybe, like, Vin Diesel being there is great. He's a big star. So is Michelle Rodriguez. And they have an association to video games, which is great, because they weren't just shoehorned in. There's a reason for them to be there. It was just awkwardly placed.
Yeah. No, I agree. But
so
there's always next year.
There's always next year. And I'll watch it again, because I'm a video game fan.
Yep. But we can all be disappointed, once again.
What it left me most with is a sense of excitement for Nintendo's next announcement, because Nintendo didn't use this to drop anything big.
Yep.
And we know that they have a lot of big things still cooking. What's happening with Metroid? What's happening with Breath of the Wild 2? What's happening with Bayonetta? What's happening with Smash Brothers? There are a lot of really big announcements that we know are just on the horizon. So, and things that we don't even know about that could be occurring in 2020. Is Pikmin even still a franchise? we know we have Animal Crossing coming out soon. So There's a lot of things to be excited about if you're a Nintendo fan, and just none of that made an appearance at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
But that means that there is something big coming, probably sooner rather than
later. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe we'll get a Direct this year. Maybe early next year. So
yeah, it's going to be one of those two. Either we're going to have one before the close of this calendar year, or maybe at the very top of next year. Yeah. Either way, well, we got to get a Smash announcement soon because that character's coming out in February.
Yeah.
So, or by February, we don't even know if that's actually going to be the release date. They just said they would have it done before that time. So it's a big deal, and it's an exciting time to be a Nintendo fan.
Always is. It's never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Now, do you think we can close out this episode on a higher note than the Game Awards?
Yeah, let's do it. What do you got?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well,
okay, actually, I do have something.
Sure.
And I was going to talk to you about this in private, but I guess why not invite all our fans in this? Ring Fit is definitely going to have to be my personal game of the year for Switch because, as I've indicated on many occasions, I think it's the first one that really justifies the Joy-Con, at least for my personal usage. And I'm a little bit behind you. I'm 2 weeks behind you. I haven't completed my 60 days because the game released 2 weeks later in Taiwan. But in 2 weeks' time, I will have also done 60 days, and I want to keep up with it too. That's going to put me right at the end of the year. And so I'll have the story completed really soon, but I want to start a fresh profile and somehow integrate the workouts into some Nintendo Wire content.
Ooh.
Just to find a way to be able to share the experience that I'm having with the people who follow the show. And I'm not exactly sure what form that's going to take.
Bring me in.
Coach. I think we need to have some Nintendo Wire Ring Fit related content because for us, this is our 11th podcast episode, if I'm counting correctly, and Ring Fit has had a big presence at every single one.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who is listening to this show and you know how to get in contact with me and Amiibo Jason, we'll drop some links here real quick. Let us know what type of Ring Fit related content interests you. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about right now is going through some of those workout sets and just doing something similar to how the big video streaming workout companies do it, where I just do a workout with you guys. It would be fun to me, and I think it might be an inspiring way to kick off your 2020 with a workout buddy. Sometimes it's hard to work out alone, and as Jason and I indicated, Ring Fit isn't exactly intended to be a family game, but there's no reason why you can't do it with friends.
Yeah.
And so I think that I want to be your workout buddy. I want to be all of your workout buddies. And so this could be a way for us to be able to share in that experience together. And
I'm
then that
it.
Way, you guys are inspiring me to continue to use this game to enhance my own fitness. And hopefully, by extension of my invitation, you can take some strides to improve your own fitness. And we'll work out together.
No, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. All right. So I guess where can we message you all this stuff, TJ?
Yeah. Give me your Ring Fit info or your Ring Fit hopes, dreams, and desires at Custom Conquest on Twitter. And you can also comment on any video that I've done here on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, which is where I constantly haunt the comment section to see what you guys think.
Rock and roll. And if you're
How
looking...
How about you, boss man?
What?
How about you, boss man?
Oh, sorry about that. If you're looking for info on me, you can find me on my personal Twitter account, at AmiiboJason. Otherwise, I'm the editor-in-chief over at NintendoWire.com. We're on Twitter as well, at NinWire. And of course, we're still at Amiibo News, because Amiibo are still my favorite things ever. So there you go. We have episode 11 ready to go in the can. I'll get this edited up soon. Obviously, if you're listening to this, it's already edited. So I'm excited. I've been having a blast doing these podcasts, so I always look forward to the next one.
But same.
As I always say, until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.
All right. I get to go do...
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same thing.